It's On Second Thought. I'm Ricky Bevington, in for Celeste Headlee. We'll talk tomorrow about how anti-smoking campaigns may send the wrong message to smokers. Have you quit smoking? What worked? What didn't? You can call us at 404-500-9457 to tell us your story. And be sure to join us for that discussion tomorrow at 9 a.m. There is only one duo who can adventure through time and space and still debate about political correctness. This is Rick Sanchez and Morty Smith.
Cute. Your sister's boss gave me a microscope that would have made me retarded.
Ooh. Oh, boy, Rick. I don't think you're allowed to say that word.
That is Rick Sanchez and Morty Smith from Adult Swim's animated hit Rick and Morty. Rick is a genius scientist. His grandson, Morty, well, he's in high school. Together, they use portal guns and other wacky inventions to save the multiverse from hyper-intelligent dogs and cannibal mantis people. The show creator Dan Harmon sat down with my colleague Celeste Headlee a while back to discuss the program. Oh, and good news for fans in Savannah, the Rickmobile, a vehicle which is shaped like Rick, will be making a stop on Thursday at Bowtie Barbecue.
Hi.
So, I mean, you come to Rick and Morty after a pretty successful, long career in television, not just Community, but a bunch of other projects, which I won't list all off. But what did this pitch go like? I mean, how did you pitch Rick and Morty?
Well, Mike Lazo and Nick Weidenfeld, who was then working at Adult Swim as Lazo's kind of hand of the king, they both just were big enough Dan Harmon fans, based on Community mostly, to say at a certain point around season three of Community, you know, anything that you want to do on Adult Swim, just let us know. Like, you should be doing a show on Adult Swim. And I knew only by myself, that's not my crowd, because I'm not you know, juvenile or punk rock or anything, but because I'm just very kind of sterile in my sensibilities. Like, I really like to pair myself with genius, crazy people like Rob Schraub, who was my partner for a long time. We did the Sarah Silverman show together and wrote a bunch of feature scripts. And Justin is very much like Rob in that he's a very visual thinker. He's compulsively lateral in his thought. Whereas I might be diagnosable with certain disorders that keep you kind of in a rut or hyper focused. Justin is very much in the ADHD category. And that's very valuable, because my worst enemy is myself. And so I went to Justin and said, you're the guy that should have an Adult Swim show, not me, but they're telling me I can have anyone that I want. So what do you want to do? And Justin said, well, to be honest, as silly as it seems, I'm really addicted to doing these voices of Rick and Morty.
This is the chemical release in the mammoth brain, you know, that makes it fall in love. All right, Morty, I just gotta combine it with some of your DNA.
Oh, well, okay.
A hair, Morty. I need one of your hairs. This isn't Game of Thrones.
Ow!
And I said, well, that's fine. There's no such thing as a bad idea in TV. You just you follow the bliss and the passion, and then you build something outward from there.
Wait, let's go back to that statement of there's no such thing as a bad idea in TV, because I feel like I've watched many.
Yeah, but you've watched them because they've all gotten greenlit and they've crossed your path because they've been successful in some cases. I it would be too snarky of me to name names, but the important thing to understand about TV is that it's by nature a derivative medium. You know, you don't turn it on in order to be immersed in the question, what is television? I mean, to a certain degree, you are going to it for comfort. You want a little bit of what you got yesterday. And yes, you definitely need to have a little bit of something you've never had before, or you'd send it back to the kitchen. But but fundamentally, it's you're going to television for a feeling, not cleverness. You're supplanting, for better or for worse, your own chaotic family relationships with characters that are much like your best friends, very consistent in their patterns, and therefore able to be loved without fear of losing them to randomness.
I'm not sure you want to take romantic advice from this guy, Morty. His marriage is hanging from a thread.
My marriage is fine, thank you.
Jerry, it's your house. Whatever you say it is how it is, but I think a blind man could see that Beth is looking for the door. I barely have a reason to care, and even I notice.
Come on, Rick, don't talk about my parents like that.
Listen, Morty, I hate to break it to you, but what people call love is just a chemical reaction that compels animals to breed. It hits hard, Morty, then it slowly fades, leaving you stranded in a failing marriage. I did it. Your parents are gonna do it. Break the cycle, Morty. Rise above. Focus on science.
So let's hear another clip. And this, I mean, they're all kind of have become cult classics in their own way. But Mr. Meeseeks is supposed to help the family whenever they need something done. And then was supposed to disappear when the task is over. And in this particular case, Jerry, which is Rick's son-in-law, asks Mr. Meeseeks to take two strokes off of his golf swing.
That's okay. I'm Mr. Meeseeks. Look at me. Try again and keep your head down.
Okay, well, which is it? Square my shoulders or keep my head down?
Well, it's both. Let me try something. I'm Mr. Meeseeks. Look at me. Hi, Mr. Meeseeks. I'm Mr. Meeseeks. Look at me.
Hi.
Can you help me get two strokes off of Jerry's golf swing?
Can do.
I'm Mr. Meeseeks. Is he keeping his shoulders squared?
Ooh, he's trying.
but, I mean, when you're creating these characters who end up becoming iconic, we know, I mean, we're going to talk more about your story circle, but what is it about, do you have a formula for creating a character that will become memorable and that we people can invest in?
I would say no, if there's been any consistent template to the characters that stick out for people, it's definitely centered on Justin and whatever it is that's right and wrong with his brain. Mr. Meeseeks is a great example. I can't remember how we began talking about that story. I do distinctly remember a point. Or maybe now I've mythologized it, but you know how memory works. I've listened to NPR shows where they talk about how memory is a lie, but I think Radiolab talked about that. But I in my memory, Justin was at one point so frustrated with the story breaking process that he was rolling around on the floor of the writer's room saying like.
Wait, literally rolling around on the floor?
That's how I remember it. But, you know, I don't know if Justin would want to be characterized that way. But for me, it's the reason I remember it is for a very positive reason, which is that he started literally saying, like, I'm Mr. Meeseeks. Look at me. Like just he was kind of just throwing a joyful fit. Like, well, let's just do that. That's the thing that comes out of the box. And that's how we'll approach this. And Justin, you should do the voice of the characters and just do it exactly like that. And there's a million examples of that, which are, you know, we start out with the traditional method of trying to break sitcom stories. So we would try to abide by that in structure, but like it's when Justin actually starts to just get bored that I find if we can avoid getting frustrated by his boredom and not condemn him for it and rather just say, oh, well, the boss is bored, man. So let's move on or let's just like use the crazy thing that's coming out of his mouth. And those have been really our biggest triumphs.
Where are my testicles, Summer? They were removed. Where have they gone?
Oh, wow. That's an intense line of questioning, Snuffles.
Do not call me that. Snuffles was my slave name. You shall now call me Snowball because my fur is pretty and white.
Okay, Snowball, just calm down, okay? You're scaring me.
Scaring you? Tell me, Summer, if a human was born with stumpy legs, would they breed it with another deformed human and put their children on display like the dachshund?
Now, the Justin that Dan Harmon keeps referring to is Justin Roiland. He's not only does the voices of both Rick and Morty, but you also heard his voice on Adventure Time and Fishhooks and a bunch of other things. He has many, many voices. I'm speaking with Rick and Morty co-creator Dan Harmon. Now, you are famous for this this thing that you invented. Since we're speaking about sort of the templates of character creation and story, you're famous for this story circle that you created, and I understand it was based on a Joseph Campbell idea, and
right.
It's a circle with eight segments, taking a character from comfort through a trial and an adventure back to comfort, and then it can start all over again. And you have said, and you're quoted as saying that you can't not see that circle. It's tattooed on your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at this point. So you use it even unconsciously.
This is just wild speculation, but I think that the primate branch of evolution represents the cutting edge of experimentation in evolutionary strategy, adaptability over, for instance, becoming incredibly key and tumbler geared to your environment. So I think for that reason, that's just total speculation. We have this sort of shape of information that we digest a lot more easily than say, for instance, the shape of information in a phone book. If I tell you you should vote for this candidate instead of that candidate, it's gonna bounce off your hull as just sort of like getting lectured. But if I tell you that I used to vote like you used to vote, and then I went and did this one random thing because this crazy thing happened, and then this other crazy thing started to happen, and then I realized this thing, I start reeling you in. And the worst people in world history have learned this, and that's called propaganda. When you use story structure to poison people with bad ideas, but it's also because that's the shape of ideas that we digest.
So, how good are you at predicting which of your projects will be successful and not? Did you expect, for example, that Rick and Morty would become so successful?
I did not expect it to become not this level. I expected it would have a small but passionate audience that would be more than enough to make me happy. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me that it's so popular.
Really? You don't understand it?
I mean, when you put it that way, I guess I can understand it, but I didn't predict it. You know, I can understand the recent election, but I didn't predict it. I can understand lots of things that shock me. But it's there's a lot of, you know, there's parents that watch the show with their kids. And that was just, I thought there were higher walls demographically than there turned out to be.
So what would you think? I mean, what ends up happening a lot of times when a show is this successful is that networks try to spin off, right? They want to make as much as possible off that one idea. Would you be open to Rick and Morty related shows or other platforms?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. If Law and Order can do it. I mean, I think that Rick and Morty is particularly conducive to all kinds of wild spin-off experiments because of it. It's fundamental to the Rick and Morty verse that there's infinite universes.
I just upgraded our cable package with programming from every conceivable reality.
Wait, does that mean we get Showtime Extreme?
How about Showtime Extreme in a world where man evolved from corn?
We're not so different. We're both corn of action.
Yeah, but one of us is dead corn!
Boring.
Summer, you just spent 3 months watching a man choose a fake wife.
So what? It'd be better if the people were corn?
Jerry, you don't get it. This is infinite TV from infinite universes.
And infinite versions of yourself and infinite versions of everyone and infinite versions of all history. So it's built right in there that if you wanted to, you could immediately launch a show called Morty and Rick, where, you know, they had different colored shirts and the writing style was decidedly different. The way that when you watch Criminal Intent, it's like more like Sherlock Holmes than the original Law and Order. That would be really exciting to me.
That is Dan Harmon, co-creator of Adult Swim's Rick and Morty. If you're a fan in Savannah, be sure to check out the Rickmobile at Bowtie Barbecue this Thursday.